Y'all, hey, what's going on out there? Happy Thursday to you. Welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk, and we got a show for you today that's outstanding. I mean, where are all the good men / women? You know, yeah, man, I'm telling you, I'm looking for some lively conversation on this one here because, you know, when you ask a question like this, it's so amazing because there's really no right or wrong answer. There's not. You know, so I think what we have to do is take a look at the different approaches that maybe you can use to help you find the right man or the good man / good woman. You know, it's just one of those things. Just one of those questions. You know, that's just one of the questions. Because everybody say, well, I can't find a good man. The mental man, I can't find no woman out there, man. So, you know, if that's the case, then where are they? Where are they? You know, I listened to a clip, and I'm going to play it for y'all later on. But the clip says, for every 100 black women, there's only 3 good black men. Wow. 100 to 3? Come on. You know, man. I'm going to play the clip, you know, where this survey was taken. But, you know, that's kind of strange there. Now, I did another one and said 70%. Successful black women are single. Huh. Why is that? Are they choosing career? Are they choosing career over family or dating? You know, when surveys like this are going on, it's hard because so many dynamics are not being addressed in just a survey like this. You know, so I don't know, but that's what we'll be talking about today. So I hope y'all got some good information for me. I'm going to play a couple of clips for you, and we're going to get into talking about some things, all right? So anyway, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Oh, this is Mr. Talk on with y'all. You want to be a part of the show today, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com. Or join us in the chat room, www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. All right, and I see I have my chat room coordinator in the house, Antoinette. And then we got Alora Everness in the chat room. Welcome, ladies. I'm glad y'all can make it. And I got 111 on my switchboard. Hey, that could be 2 or 3, 4 people, so welcome to the show. welcome to the show. You know, so that's all the ways you can participate on the show. And if you just want to stop by the Facebook page, that's fine too. Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. You know, you go there, read the articles that we put out, leave a message, befriend me, whatever you like to do, that's what we can do, because it's just that much fun to me. I'm there anyway all the time, so I see you. Even if I'm not at my computer, I know what you did, because it comes through on my phone. So don't be shy. Don't be shy. All right? Now, man, oh, where are all the good men / women? You know, and I put some questions out here on the title page that, you know, we put out there, and say, what do you require from a man / woman as your mate? You know, I think before we go ahead and start looking for that special, that good man or good woman, you know, I guess you have to ask yourself, what do I require? What do I require? But you know what? There's another question you have to ask first. And here it is. What do you bring to the table? What do you bring to the table? You know what I mean? What is it that you're bringing to the table that makes you compatible with a good man, a good woman? You know? What is that? You know, so we're going to be talking about that too. Are you a good man or a good woman? You know, a lot of individuals out there, what they do is they go ahead and they say they're looking for a good man, they're looking for a good woman, but that's fine, but they're not a good man, good woman material. So you out there, and as the folks say, ratchet, you know, you trying to find you a good man or a good woman. That's kind of crazy, isn't it? You looking for something that you're not. Well, maybe that's what relationships have is about, right? No, it's not. So we're going to be answering that question also. And here's another important one. Do you really know who you are and what you want? You know, I guess that's the combination of everything. Do you know who you are and what you want? Do you really know who you are? Do you? What do you want? What do you want out of life? What are your plans? You know, and when you start talking about that, then you get to thinking about, well, what are my plans? By 32, I want a master's degree. Or by the age of 40, I want to have at least one kid. I want to be married. You know, do you know what you need, or are you one of those people that just fly by the seat of your pants and you just go from there? You know, and it's funny because there's a lot of individuals out there, but yet they're the first one to yell, I can't find a good man or a good woman. I wonder why. You know, and it's interesting because we oftentimes ourselves in the foot. We do. We meet someone, and since they do a one or two nice things for us, oh man, he's a good one. I got to keep him. I got to keep her. But see, the thing is, you met that representative. You haven't really met that person, because we no longer court. You do, y'all. Well, I don't know. Some of y'all may not understand the word courting. So I'm going to say, today there's no such thing as dating. They call it hanging out. Hanging out, you know. Let's hang out. You know, and hanging out is more like, let's go watch a movie, do something, then go have sex. You know, back in the day when you courted, you know, you took your date out, you know, or you didn't even have to go out. You sat on the porch with your mom and your dad or your grandparents, and you talked, you know, with them standing over watching it. Then at a certain time of night, which is a very respectable time, 8 or 9 o'clock. You tell your company good night, and you go in the house. That was courting. You know? You want to ask the young lady out? You got to ask the daddy first. That was courting. And I think why a lot of people think they can't find a good man, a good woman, is because we no longer take that little bit of time right there to get to know anyone. You know, you can sit down and talk and just have fun. You know, if you're going to watch a movie or whatever, talk to the movie. It don't necessarily mean you have to have sex. You know, go for a walk in the park. If she likes walking in the park now. So, you know, I understand that some women don't like walking in the park. And I understand that. All right, but, you know, do little simple things like that. You know, and for those young men that are out there that like to hang with the boys, well, that's fine and dandy. But if you want to find that good woman, as they say, you're going to have to stop hanging with the boys. It's just that simple, you know. If they're your boys, they should be telling you that too. Go on, man. You know, go on, handle your business. You know, instead of hanging out with them and your so-called good woman is at home doing nothing. I'm just saying, man. These are just some of the things that I've been thinking about. And then you have to also think about the way the individual was raised, you know, because I think in order for you to be a good man, a good woman, 9 times out of 10, it has to start with childhood, you know, the way you were brought up, your environment, your economic standing, that's it. You know, as how you approach someone to see if they are the good man or good woman. You know, and here's another thing. And I'm just talking right now. I'm listening to myself. And why does it have to be good in there? Why does it have to be good man or good woman? Why can't it just be a man a woman, you know, why? You know, is it that you just have to specify that it's got to be a good man or a good woman? Well, I would think if they're a mate, you know, that means they are good for you, correct? But let's be honest, there's some ratchet women out there. There's some ratchet men out there. It is. You know, and it goes back, if it goes all the way back to the environment they did and the culture they were brought up in. You know, if all they know is hoochie, dressing like a hoochie, because that's all they saw, then that's what they're going to do. If the guys think the ones dressing like hoochie are the hot ones, you know, that's all they're going to go after because that's all they saw. You know, they have no idea of what courting is or dating anymore, you know. And that's long time out, trying to have a conversation outside of a cell phone, you know. And that's the funny thing, how do you have a relationship with a man or a woman on a cell phone? You know what I mean? The texting things and the Instagrams and I don't know, all that other nonsense they have out there. How do you have a relationship like that? You know, instead of talking to each other, you around here picking up the little phone and start talking with the phone on the phone, and they're right in the other room. Really? Is that not lazy? I'm telling y'all, it's some stuff going on, and we need to work it out, man. We need to work this thing out. So that's the show today. Where are the good men/women at? And some of the things we're going to talk about. You know, I may get to answer some of the questions myself. So if you feel like joining in the conversation today, just give us a call, 347-838-8622. and email me at ericletstalk@gmail.com, or you can join us in the chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. Now, before I go ahead and play this first clip for you, let me give my shout-outs in the chat room to Deep H2O, guest 1133, 1144, and Open Mic is in the house. All right? So I'm going to play this first clip, and it's 9 minutes long, and it's a Black Men versus Black Women survey. All right? So without further ado, here's the clip on Black Man versus Black Woman survey, and I'll be back with you in a minute. See you on the other side.
How's it going, YouTube Nation? I just got an interesting email from a friend concerning a survey that was done of black women, asking them what makes a good black man. And supposedly the survey, perhaps many of you who are on Black Planet would have gotten an email about it. Supposedly the survey states that for every 100 black women, there's only 3 good black men. Yeah, you heard me correctly. For every 100 black women, there's only 3 good black men. Now, I found this incredibly funny because, of course, the bias you could see right off the bat is that we are to assume that of 100 black women, they're all worth hooking up with and they themselves don't have any issues, but black men, there's just so little black men out there worth dating and worth having a relationship with that there's only 3 per 100 black women, which is just an absolute crock of crap. I can remember back in high school, I was one of only 5 students, black male students on the honor roll in grade 11 and 12. None of us had any black girlfriends. Frankly, black girls didn't even give us the time of day. We were called whitewash, we were nerds, we were all that stuff. Being an intelligent black man had no weighing whatsoever. It's actually the most ignorant guys that were able to get the black girls, and I couldn't even tell you how many baby mamas we had in our high school. Hell, even in my neighborhood right now, there's a whole bunch of teenage black girls, all of them have kids. But supposedly to the survey that in order to be a good black man for a black woman to want you, the criteria are as follows. Obviously, you have to be a black man. A black man who doesn't like other men, that's kind of obvious. If you're gay, then you're not going to hook up with a black woman, so that wasn't even worth bringing up. A black man who's interested in dating black women, that's understandable. A black man who's not been to jail. Well, that makes sense, but it's amazing how many brothers who have been to jail and would black women specifically date them. So I find that one interesting, because there's a lot of guys who go to jail and women are all over that. A black man who has had a high school diploma, again, that makes sense. I'm surprised university or college is not on here, but I guess that's the low standards that some black women have. A black man who has a job, again, makes sense. A black man who makes at least $30,000 a year, so here's the superficiality that you've got to have some coin. The more money you make, and it's actually proven right here in this study, the more money you make, the better chance a black woman be interested in you. That one's interesting. A black man who looks good is in shape. That one's probably the most honest in the study that, yeah, a lot of black women are only attracted to looks. They want a brother who looks good, is muscular. If you're too skinny or you got a bit of a gut, you're out of luck. You're not going to get any love. And here's the most interesting one here at the bottom of this list. Black women want a man who does not have any kids. Now, understand that. A man who has no kids with other women, which I think is the most foolish of the criteria that they have on here. Because you would think, for starters, there are far more single mother black women out there than there are single daddies out there. And in the current economic climate, where in the United States Census, for the first time in history, one ethnic group had more single mother households than any other group of people. Not whites, not Hispanics, not even natives, native Indians. Black mothers, there's more single black mother households in the United States than there are common law or married households. But yet, black women, are, according to the study, are turned off by a man who has kids. And the question is, why would you be turned off by a black man who has kids, who takes care of his kids and loves his kids? If anything, that's what you want. If a black man has kids and you see that he loves and cherishes and takes care of his kids, that's something you want to hang on to. You don't want to push that away. But ultimately with this study, you know, you could check it out. It was on Black Planet and also News One's website. So you can check it out and just put only 3 good black men for every 100 black women. Just Google that and you'll find this list, and you can see the tons of flaws in there. But, you know what, I'm with a very amazing black woman. I'll even show you a picture of the love of my life. This is us together. Hopefully you can see it. Not too much glare. We've been together for 5 years. She's an amazing Jamaican girl. And what I love about her is that she's not stereotypical. She's strong. She's educated. Has 2 degrees, one in business and one in nursing. She is an actual professional nurse. Ridiculously smart, way smarter than me. And I love how logical she is. She doesn't like to fight. She doesn't cluck her head like a chicken whenever there's an argument or put her hand in people's faces. She doesn't get mad over the dumbest little thing. She doesn't check my cell phone every 2 seconds to see who I'm talking to. She's very trustworthy, loving. And I know she's a rare catch. My friends, my Jamaican friends tell me she's a rare catch. No attitude. Not to say she's a pushover. She could hold her own. But she won't argue for stupid little things. It has to be a big deal for her to get pissed off about something. But I have known throughout my life some beautiful, gorgeous black women who make the worst decisions when it comes to dating men, who have way too much attitude that is just uncalled for, and are very abrasive to people. It actually brings, when I was reading this, it brings up a memory I had of about 6 or 7 years ago, before I met my current girlfriend, that I was walking down the street, and it was this drop-dead gorgeous black girl. Like, I could tell she was Jamaican. Just gorgeous. I'm talking about model gorgeous. And she was walking by herself. So me on my bicycle, I'm going for a bike ride. I thought, you know what, this is a once-in-a-lifetime chance. A gorgeous girl like this by herself. I'm going to, you know, say hello to her. And, you know, hopefully, you know, maybe hook up with her, whatever. So ride my bike up, and I walked up. I came up to her, and I was like, excuse me. You know, I think you're very beautiful. I would like to know if you'd like some company. I get a chance to get to know you. Then what I didn't expect happened. She sized me up and down, looking me up and down, giving me a screw face. And then, I'm not making this up, straight out of her mouth, she's like, who do you think you are come talking to me? You can't have any chance with me. This is what she said to my face, all right? I came up to her with respect. A lot of women complain and bitch about how men don't know how to approach them with respect, talk to them like human beings. I approached her like a human being, talked to her with respect, and I got just talked down to like I was garbage. Long story short, it ended up being a shouting match in the street because I was pissed off. I was like, if you're not interested, that's cool, but you don't have to talk to me like I'm some common garbage. You know, I'm just trying to be nice. But what was interesting is that the next day at work, I went and told my coworkers, and most of the black men there are looking at me like, are you insane? Like, what's the big deal? And their shock is that I was actually angry about this, that to them, this is how black women are. They're full of attitude. One guy shared a story in that same lunch period where I'm talking to this guy. One guy shared a story about how a black woman that he met at a club spat in his face, just horked a loogie in his face. First time meeting her, you know, using his lines, being GQ and smooth, but she spat in his face. Another guy, an Indian guy who was new to the country, talked about his first experience with a black woman is having her cuss him out because he took a seat and he didn't know she wanted that seat as well. And she made this big scene in the bus just because, you know, he took the seat. And because he was new to the country, he did not really, his English wasn't that great. And he felt so embarrassed. And to think this is his first experience with a black woman. The first time he meets a black woman, this is what happens. And there's tons of stories like this. There's everyone I meet, there's always some story about some rude, in-your-face black woman. And I find this surprising because, frankly, black women are beautiful. They're sexy. I'm a breast man, all right? And black women are the bustiest women on earth. They're gorgeous. But yet, it seems like, and one person actually told me this, that the more beautiful the black woman, the more attitude she will have because she knows she's beautiful. And, it, you know, it's this over-the-top black and beautiful, but it's pushed too far where, you know, there's this abrasive attitude where many black women cannot be spoken to. You know, here's another example. At a work placement I had about 4 years ago, this guy just came in and just said good morning to this one woman, this attractive black woman. And everyone who said good morning to her got just abrasive attitude because she was having a bad day. So everyone now has to get her wrath because she had a bad day. You know, I'm not trying to say that all black women are bad or not worth pursuing. Black women are beautiful. They are the mothers of creation, pretty much. It's proven that Africa was ground zero for humanity. Black women gave birth to humanity. But honestly, the abrasiveness, the attitude, the ego is just too damn much. And studies like this just prove that black women can be very superficial and naive when it comes to choosing a black man. So I'm saying, for all the sisters out there, just, you know, and maybe feedback from brothers out there about what you feel about black women and how abrasive many of them can be, but not all. And, You know, black women are beautiful. I'm not trouncing all black women because there's some smart ones out there, but let's be realistic. There's some really stupid, naive, and really feisty women out there as well. And, you know, I just had to share this. I just saw this study, and I just think it's freaking ridiculous that it makes black women sound ridiculously superficial. And, you know, it's contradictory because I know more black women who, throughout my life, who have actually dated guys who are felons, who are undereducated and have no job, than dating educated, smart brothers out there. So, I don't know. I put it out to you guys out there. What do you think about all this? And give me your feedback and let me know. All right? You guys take care.
All right. Well, I see some comments in the chat room. This was a recording off of YouTube. And, you know, it's, whew, man. You know, I think in the kind of way the brother kind of stereotyped a lot of black women, because a lot of black women are not like he says. But there are a lot of them, though. You got to be, especially that one, and the most ones that really shook my head is the no kids part. You know, because really, no kids? No kids? And most of them are walking around in here with house load of kids. So, you know, I thought that was just really out there. But I see I got two people with their hand up, so let me bring them in and we get going with the show. All right, area code 972. Who would I have here? Welcome to the show.
972 here.
Yeah. What's your name, sir? Hey.
It's Mr. Cleveland, man.
All right. What's up, Mr. Cleveland? How you doing?
Chillin', man. Chillin'.
All right. Hold on for a minute. Let me bring the other individual in also, okay? All right. All right. 111, welcome to the show. Who do I have here?
Yeah, this is Mike.
What's up, Mike? How you doing?
All right.
All right. So let's welcome Mr. Cleveland and Michael to the show, and we'll start with Mr. Cleveland. What do you think about that clip, sir?
I don't like it.
Okay.
And the reason why I say that is, now, don't get me wrong. Well, first of all, let me turn my radio down. Hold on a second.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong, man. I can agree with the fact that some sisters out here, just me, they act kind of shitty. Now, I will agree with that. You know, you look at them, or if you even speak to them, they're frowning up as if you're trying to holler at them. But mm-hmm. I'm not trying to holler at every sister that I see. When I see you and I say hello, it's not that, oh, I want to get up in your panties or do whatever. Sometimes I'm just like, hey, sister, how you doing? Basically, when I say hello, that's really what I mean. You know, but on the other hand, there are a lot of strong black women out here who don't, you know, they don't portray themselves like that. I've been with my wife 21 years, been married 17. And when I say I got a strong sister, I got a strong black woman. She ain't afraid to speak her mind if she have to. She's professional as far as her work goes. And I don't mean to offend anybody, but she'll let people know, well, my wife is this kind of woman that she deals with a lot of white folks at the job. She gets upset when she feel like black folks are getting screwed as far as jobs go because she do a lot of hiring. So when, like, the CEOs and all that, they put these white folks in place to get hired, and my wife know that they ain't qualified, she don't like that. So because of that, she speaks up, and they think that she's the black angry, black woman. But she's not, you know, because she likes to help black people. But I got a strong black woman. She's always been strong. She 100%. She get in my ass when I'm doing something wrong, and I need to put up my ass. Hey, she going to get in there. If it comes down to that. But I just don't, I don't know. I don't agree with everything he said, man, because to me it's like he's throwing sisters up under the bus. Now, I will say there are a few bad ones out there who make it bad for every black man who even tries to approach him. But that's not the case with the majority of sisters, man.
Okay. All right. All right, Mr. Cleveland, we got this new code word on the show. You got to tell us when you finish. Are you saying I'm finished?
Okay. No, I'm done, man. I'm done.
Okay. All right, Michael, what would you like to add?
Well, he made some good points. I was having a conversation. I was like, some women, when guys are speaking to them, some women, when guys are speaking to them, it's not that they're trying to get in their pants or they're trying to talk to them. Or they're trying to get to meet them. They're just speaking. Some women will, you know, think a guy is, you know, he says hello and smiles to her, that he's trying to, you know, talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
And some men get angry. And if a woman does not speak to him as you're recording, they'll go back and forth with a woman. I remember I was in a conversation. They would say, well, if a woman doesn't speak to you, you have to ask her, well, why didn't she speak? And I, no, you don't have to. Someone doesn't speak, someone doesn't speak. I don't have to get in a confrontation or try to make someone speak to me. But there's reasons for that. Now, you notice what he, and one other thing that he said that I hear a lot, that some women say they don't want to mess with a man with kids or baby mama drama. But those same women, in the future, they may be single parents, and they may want a man to come and help them out with their kids or understand their situation. But you hear a lot of women say that. Now, this is, he's overgeneralizing. People like him, they use this linguistic stuff to overgeneralize people. If you notice, he says he has a Jamaican woman. So he's differentiating from, I guess, American black woman. So right there, he's not looking. Is he talking about American black women or many women in other cultures? Because that woman that he has, she has a culture. He titled her culture Jamaican. So she has an essence. Us African-American people, we're still trying to find out what our culture is or try to have some type of foundation. So, which is totally different. But all American women is not like this. Black American women are under attack. Let me tell you this, and I'll be quiet after this. I have a business right now. One of my businesses, a black female that I used to deal with, gave me her Rolodex and gave me her business because she couldn't handle it, and she had a she started a new career. There's a lot of successful black women out here that's not like that. People overgeneralize. It's sad how people overgeneralize. You need to talk about the situations that you were in. When a woman doesn't speak to you, like the gentleman said, and he was riding on a bike, maybe she wants someone to, you know, talk to her driving a car. Maybe he didn't look right. To each his own. You just can't say that you had that one interaction with that black woman, and then you're going to overgeneralize and say all black women are like this, have a talk show, and then dedicate all of your shows about how disgusting black women are in America. It's crazy. So we got to watch the overgeneralization. That's basically what I wanted to say for right now.
Oh, excuse me. Okay. All right. But, you know, I got a question for both of y'all. You know, and with the bicycle thing, is it any harm to speak to someone? Just to say hello and just keep going, right? Okay. But anyway, I'm with you, Michael, because I did catch on to the Jamaican thing, you know, the Jamaican wife. And I'm like, okay, all right. And you're right. So let me ask this question then. If that's the case, and Mikey, you said Afro-Americans don't have, what you say, we didn't have culture?
Well, the reason why I say no, we have culture, but we argue over our culture. For instance, soul food, pig feet, chitlins, that's a part of our culture. But people in our community say we shouldn't eat that. We should just get rid of all soul food because it's bad for our health. I say everything in moderation. Religious-wise, we're divided religiously. We don't have blacks don't have a foundation. Some are Muslims, some are Christians, some are atheists. Entertainment-wise, some people don't like hip-hop. Some people say the new hip-hop is bad and the old hip-hop. So we're divided. Hairstyles, they don't like black women wearing weaves. Some people want black women to go natural. We're divided. Some people want to stay in America. Some people want to go back to Africa. Some people want to vote and in this system and be a part of a political system. Some people say, as black Americans, we will never be a part of a political system.
Michael,
so why vote?
Michael.
We're divided.
Okay, Michael. Okay, Michael, I understand what you're saying, but you're kind of drifting a little bit. So let's stay on the good man, good woman scenario, okay?
Oh, right. to watch. But yeah, we're divided though.
Okay. All right. Well, there's some good points. I got somebody else with their hand up, so let me bring them in and see what they have to say. 111, welcome to the show. Who do I have here?
Good afternoon. It's Mr. Beasley.
Well, hello, Mr. Beasley. How are you?
I'm spectacular, but I'm improving.
Okay.
I don't have any of those issues. Yes, mm-hmm. It's true. A lot of men are on the hunt. You know, let's not deny that. A lot of men are on the hunt. But let's also not deny that women desire and want sex just about as much as men do.
Mm-hmm. That's a true point. That's a true statement.
It's just that we live in a there's a double standard in society. Whereas if I sleep with 1,000 women, you know, I get a pat on the back. You know, I'm a player. I'm smooth with it. I'm a ladies' man. But if a woman does the same thing, she's shunned. And she's a slut and a whore. Mm. But I don't have any of those issues. And I realize if I speak to someone and they don't speak, it doesn't have a lot to do with me. It has more to do with them and what they're going through or wherever their attitude is. And I'm almost glad that they don't speak. In fact, I am glad that they don't speak. But I don't run into too many that don't speak. I find a lot of time they're saying something to me before I even say anything to them. It's all about an attitude. It's all about an attitude.
Mm-hmm.
See, and I don't know, maybe I look at it different. I look at myself as the prize.
Okay. So
I'm the prize.
You're the prize.
And I don't know what a good man would be, but I know that I'm not an ordinary man. I'm more like an extraordinary man. Once you have value for yourself, you don't want to let any toxicity into your environment. At least I know I don't, and I've been like that for a while.
Mm. All right. So basically what you're saying, you know exactly what you bring to the table and what your worth is. You know, as far as yourself,
right?
And you want somebody. So when it comes to a woman, do you want somebody on that same level, or someone below that, or above that?
Well, I don't know. I just want somebody. Well, you want someone that's going to be receptive and wants to listen, and
mm-hmm.
wants to pay attention to you and get the chance to know you, and to be respectful of you.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you'll find that with someone, and maybe you won't.
Mm.
I mean, I don't know, but I don't expect most people to think like I do and to have my level of understanding on things.
Mm.
I experienced mm-hmm. that. I experienced that by calling these shows.
Mm-hmm. Oh, do you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Common sense isn't that common.
All righty then. Okay. Oh, now that's funny. All right. So are you finished? Or you got more?
Oh, I'm finished.
Oh, okay. All right. Michael or Mr. Cleveland, y'all have anything else?
Yeah, I want to say I agree with a whole lot of stuff that Beasley said. And I didn't like the fact that the cat was saying that, well, which is somewhat sometimes true. Now, I don't know. I know Mr. Beasley is on the West Coast. Now, I know I lived in L.A. for a while. I know the women out there are a little bit more friendly. Now, when you come up my way, Chicago, Cleveland, right. They tend to get a little bit rough around the edges, where, like, if you speak to them, they look at you like they're ready to jump on you.
You know, my experience is the opposite of that, but go ahead.
Well, that's how they are up this way. I know, like I said, in California, they're a little bit more friendly. I don't, as far as what the cat was saying about sisters getting with brothers out to join and uneducated, and some sisters do get with cats like that. Now, it can be the opposite. We can have me or any other guy who wants a fixer-upper. We want to get a girl who got 5 or 6 kids, try to turn her into something that we feel like she should be. And I think a lot of sisters get like that, where they get with cats where they feel like, well, I'm going to turn them around. And it may work sometimes, and sometimes it may not work. Because they say, like they say, behind every good man is a good woman. So sometimes a woman can change a man. I mean, my wife changed me. I have some tendencies and some ways that, you know, had I not met her, I might still have the same tendencies and ways. But I just don't like the generalization that the cat put on all sisters, man. I mean, it's like, come on, man. They're not all like that. Now, it is some bad apples, just like a sister say, it's some brothers out here who bad. Now, I do have a problem with sisters who hold against every other brother something that somebody done to her because she was hurt, a cat done her wrong. She wants to hold that against everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And my thing to that is I'm not him. I didn't do it to you. I wasn't there when he done it to you. So don't treat me like him. But that's just my take on it. I'm done.
He made a real strong statement right there. People carry their baggage and their weight around, and you can't generalize any group of people. I mean, you can. You're just not gonna. It's just not gonna be factual.
That's true.
And I hear people do it all the time. I hear people talk, and they never say. You know, you heard Mike say he said some women. You know, not all women. Some black people. And Mike said something else that made sense, you know, that made sense. You know, you can't say all black people with anything because he told you all the different, divisions or different thought processes. Black people or no other group of people are monolithic, which means they believe and think the same things. And it's okay. That's just the nature of people.
That's the nature of the beast, huh?
Right.
All right. Okay. Well, you know what? I agree, and I agree with everything y'all said, you know, and I think that's where everything gets mixed up because they get into stereotyping everybody, you know, this everybody, and next thing you know, you have this phenomena of, like we're talking about now, where are all the good men and where are the good women? Well, they're out there. You know, if we stop being so superficial to, you know, well, no, she ain't got no natural hair. Oh, no, look at all that jewelry. She too high maintenance. You know, and when you start doing that, you know, you may be turning away your Mr. Right or Miss Right. Because you're not really getting to know the person. Now, as far as the people not speaking to you, hey, some people just not going to speak to you, you know. And here's the thing, though. This is what I do, you know, especially I'm in a business or something, and they look like they're not going to speak. I keep talking to them till I make them smile. I know that's the wrong thing to do, but that's what I do. I keep talking to them till I make them smile. And then that way I know, okay, you ain't as mean as you think you are. You know, but that's just me. That's the way I work. But go ahead.
I think something that people don't take into consideration or that's not getting talked about is different people have different options. Some people, you know, not every woman is beautiful on the outside.
Right.
You know, when I hear people talk about beautiful women and beautiful black women, there are women out there that are not beautiful, at least to me. Now, they may have some beauty on the inside of them, but, you know, 9 times out of 10, you know, most men aren't going to take the time to find that beauty on the inside because the outside is unappealing to them. Let's be for real about it.
Mm-hmm.
And some people have more options than others and have had more options than others. The better-looking guy with some conversation and some confidence and some game about himself has more action and more women than the guy that can't get his words out of his mouth, that's unconfident, that may not be as nice-looking. And it goes the same for the women. And as far as what's a good man or a good woman, that can vary from person to person. What might be a good woman to me might not be a good woman to you. I don't know exactly what that means. I mean, I think the main thing that you would want in good out of anybody is the first thing that you would want is some honesty. It's some candor. It's some honesty. It's someone that's going to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Someone that's going to be patient with you and try to be understanding of you. I mean, those are the foundations to a good friendship or relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But so what's good, and again, some people have more options than others. Let's be for real.
Okay, well, when you say options, you know, some people, what are you talking about? What options are what options are you talking about?
You have action at more women because of your status, because your status in life, because of just who you are.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Women love power. Women love power. But let's talk about this number one man, this alpha man that all the women adore. Remember he was saying she wants the man with power, the money, with a good physique, bodybuilder, body looking right. But women, that's your number one man. And I ask you this. Since you have that guy, how many other women that you think is going to be coming at that number one guy? It's going to be a lot of women coming for him. So if that man is not honest, you open up a new can of worms. Because that number one guy, he's going to have a lot of women trying to chase him. And as Beasley said, he's going to have many more options. So
that's what I meant by options.
Where the mind is about where that number one man mind is and where he's at in his life. That's all
now,
I wanted to say.
And you know what? A guy can have a real nice body and be nice looking and do okay for himself and be dumb as a rock. One thing I know for sure that I've learned, God doesn't give anybody everything.
Mm.
I have some
trade.
God doesn't give everybody
the
complete package. Everybody has some.
It's a trade-off.
Right.
It's a trade-off.
I know I have a friend now, and she's always been beautiful, and she looks far younger than her age. And I can't even talk with her right now. Because she's dumb as a rock.
Okay.
She really
it's
is.
A trade-off, bro.
I talk with her about her situations. I'm like, can't you see that? I said, well, why don't you try doing this? Not only is she dumb, when I go ahead and give her the play, like, hey, it's a 47 left. Try this. I bet it would work. Now, I'm time-tested and proven that if I think something through, I know how to make it work. She don't even try to run the play. I can't even take her call. If she offered it to me on a platter, I'd have to turn it down because I couldn't be involved with her. I'd rather involve myself with someone maybe that's not as beautiful as she is. That's receptive to whatever message I've got.
Hmm. All right.
Now I can say.
Beasley made a good point. Go ahead.
Did he?
No, you go ahead. I'm finished. Excuse me.
He had said something earlier about my grandmother used to say this all the time. He was saying something about, you know, she may be beautiful and on the outside, but she may not be as beautiful on the inside, or she may be beautiful on the outside. I mean on the inside, but not as beautiful on the outside. My grandmother told me this a long time ago, and I'll never forget it. I had problems with this girl when I was younger. I think I was a kid. I was like 14, 15. The girl had claimed that I had got her pregnant at this time, and she was boo-hooing, saying that I'm the father and this and that. And my grandmother used to always say, you know, because I got a light complexion, and my grandmother used to always say, that girl done found a light-skinned boy, a light-skinned curly-haired boy, and you done blew her goddamn mind. She used to say shit all the time. And I used to laugh, but my grandmother used to say she was ugly. All the way around. And I used to be like, well, what do you mean by that? And my grandmother used to be like, let me tell you something. She was like, you can have the most beautiful girl on this planet. I don't give a damn how good she looks. If she ugly on the inside, she ugly all the way around. It took me to be a grown man and really figure that out because I always thought that she looked good and blah, blah. But as I got older and started running into all these beautiful women and women who were not so beautiful as maybe the ones that I thought was beautiful, the real beautiful ones, some of them had a fucked up attitude, just fucked up ways, period. Like they was entitled or they was old something. But then I found something that didn't look as good. The most beautiful person in the world, have your back. If you need something, they're there for you. not because they felt like they were going to get something, because they genuinely cared about me, you know. And then I started to realize what my grandmother told me, you know. And I'm surprised that more sisters ain't called into the show. Well, no women have called in and ain't in on this topic, because I thought that they would have wanted to get in upon this.
Yeah.
You know what?
Hold on, Michael.
Mr. Cleveland took my thunder. All right, ladies. Hey, we want to hear your side of the story also. So give us a call, 347-838-8622. Come on now. Don't sit back and listen. Come on and give us your opinion. And let's get some real conversation going, okay? All right. Because we're here waiting. We got plenty of time, plenty of time. Okay,
you guys,
Mike,
you guys,
I'm sorry,
reminded me of Mike Jones. Remember Mike Jones? Who? Mike Jones.
Who is Mike Jones?
Mike Jones, the one that had the song Back Then.
Mike who?
Mike Jones. He said, back who? Then women didn't want me. Now I'm hot. They all up on me.
That's the song, man. Well, we saying who, because that was the song. Mike,
who? That's how the song went. That was a hot song. Mike Jones, hold on. I looked up his lyrics.
Okay.
And I'm gonna replace the word hoes with women, because I know I don't want to get shot, even though it's Mike Jones' words. But Mike Jones said, before I came up at the game, these women didn't show no love. They see me in the club and used to treat me like a scrub. They wouldn't holler because my dollar wasn't swole enough. He said, I bet they changed their mind when them 84s come rolling up. They see I'm a star now. Now they want to sit in my car. They want to count my cheese, smoke my weed, and sip my bar now. They used to love and diss me. Now they rush to hug and kiss me. They telling me all my friends when I leave how much they miss me.
Wow. That's putting it out there, right? That's putting it out there. But see, where did he say these women were? In the club, right?
You know, you meet women in the club. You've never met a woman in the club. I've had relationships out of clubs.
Yeah, I met them in the club. Yes, and I had a few relationships. But you know, and then.
Well, what I mean, does you think it makes that much a difference if you meet them in a club or if you meet them in church or if you meet them at the bus stop?
You know, sometimes it does, though. Sometimes it does. Depends. See, and once again, it gets back. That depends on the person. You know, if you get a true club woman, you know, and you want to start a relationship and y'all eventually, you know, tie the knot, and you try and change it, keep it from that club, 9 times out of 10, that's not going to work. And see, and that's going to create a big problem in your relationship. You know what I'm saying?
I always agree with that. You can meet a woman in the church that would take you through the same thing as a female in the club.
As far as you were saying about
Mike Jones, that's just like that song Biggie had. He was like, they used to diss me, now they want to kiss me. You know, I mean, if you take a cat like Flavor Flav, I ain't judging no man on looks, but that nigga is, excuse my language,
ugly.
As ugly as all outdoors. Anything ugly outdoors, put it that way. But because he got money, he can go around and get with one of the finest women in the world, you know, because he got the money. So they ain't looking at his face. They ain't looking at him for who he is. They're looking at what he got.
And you know what? And men realize that. And when you realize that, it makes you look at it. It makes a lot of men look at women in a different light.
Yeah, that is true.
I mean, there's so many songs, particularly rap songs, have been written about it.
Perfect example. Look at the girl with Donna Sterling. Now, I don't think she's all, to me, she's ugly. I don't think she's fine at all. Now,
me
some
neither.
People may disagree with me, but she ain't fine to me.
He liked her.
On Donna Sterling standards, she's fine. Had that man is 80 years old, 81, 82, whatever he is, any girl in their right mind, if he was a regular 82-year-old dude just walking down the street, is not going to holler at that guy.
Okay. You got a point. You got a point there. And I'm with you, though. I didn't think she was all that attractive either, but, you know, that's
he did.
You know, that's where, yeah, he did. He did. Hold on. I got somebody else with their hand up.
He does.
Okay. 111, welcome to the show. Who do I have here?
Yeah, hi, Mr. Eric. How are you today?
I'm doing fine, Mr. Solution. How are you?
Good, good, good.
Good. All right. Well, what do you have to add to the show today?
Well, I think check that documentary out. It's called Frustrated Black Men in America, or words to that effect. And look at that, because there's so much stupidity, ignorance. It just makes me almost want to vomit. Just I would say, abject ignorance of people regarding relationships is as if it has no principles or rules that should be followed. Now, something else I can tell you, and a great way of learning is vis-a-vis contrast. Drug dealers, guys who are drug dealers, complete assholes, will never, ever call into a show like this because they don't care. And that's another part. I think the greatest aspect of a guy being a complete asshole is he does not care. Now, when he doesn't care, because so many women are what we call attention whores, all of a sudden the women want him. And there's a documentary on this. I've shared it with you before, Love Lessons, Decoding the Desire for the Bad Boy. So if you want women, if a man wants women, turn into an asshole. And women will be attracted to you like iron filings to a magnet. But if you do drugs, and I want the guys to reattach their balls just for a moment and tell me if this is not the case. If a guy is doing drugs, does he ever, and I do mean ever with a cap, all caps, does he ever have a problem getting all types of women? And it doesn't matter. He can get the hood rat all the way to the professor. Is that not true?
What do you mean doing drugs? Using drugs? Selling drugs? What are you saying?
Selling drugs, particularly selling drugs.
All right, what are you talking about?
Here in L.A., if you go to the Beverly Hills Hotel, and Tom Likas talked about this, guys are in there peeling off $100 bills. Women don't care where they get the money from.
No.
They could be assassins.
No, they don't. Right.
Yeah, they don't care where the money anyway, go ahead. If a guy is dealing drugs, in fact, it was pointed out in a book, I can't recall the name of it just right now, women drive a lot of the drug industry, and they drive it through the men, because a lot of men who can't play basketball, they don't have a particular acumen intellectually, you know, they're not skilled intellectually, but if they can hook into the drug industry and sell drugs, women are all of a sudden all over them. Jay-Z started out as a drug dealer, did he not?
Yeah.
Right, exactly. But Mr. Solution, I agree with you, Mr. Solution. You're right.
Really?
I said anything. Yes, you're right. But
thank you, Michael.
You're right about this. You're exactly right. 100% correct. But it's fucked up that the man has to do that economic system to be that. It's sad that a black young man looks in this society and says, you know what? The quick money is in my right in front of my face. I want to get something. It's hard to sell someone in poverty late. So I agree with you. Well, some of the women are responsible, because when some of our men come from jail, the mothers and the sisters do not say, hold up, I'm not going to go for this. Some says, you know what, you have to do. But all women are not like that. Some families are broken up because they don't want to deal with their cousins who are drug dealers. So drug life has destroyed the black community as a whole. So, yes, you're right, Mr. Solution.
Mr. Solution makes a very good point. And the point is that a man with money has a better chance, because drug dealers don't go around talking about their drug dealers. They kind of hide that, you know, because that's an illegal activity. You don't go around telling women. They don't go around telling women, I'm a drug dealer. They might say, I'm in, you know, I do this, I do that, I produce films, I'm in the music business, I have businesses, or I own real estate. They don't tell women that they're drug dealers, but they have disposable income. I have a cousin who's dated and married drug dealers. And, you know, I tend to call her a black widow, because they end up in prison after messing around with her. But she doesn't look at character. And you just look at money. And when you just, when you look at, and the same thing goes for a beautiful woman. If, when you're ignoring someone's character and only looking at their money or their looks, you're going to find nine times out of ten, you're going to have some real disappointments.
Exactly.
Well, you know, I say these guys who pee sitting down on a fuzzy toilet seat, they don't acknowledge this. And it's not bashing women, and I shouldn't even have to say that, but it's just telling the truth. Beasley, I would differ with you that women don't know what these guys are into. They do.
Yeah, they know.
They suspect that.
No, there's a principle in law that holds one culpable. If you know, or get this one now, or should have known. If you know or should have known. And the thing of it is, when they see a guy, he has no regular job, I mean, but he has all this money. I mean, come on. How many do you have to have? Too much more than a double-digit IQ to, put that together? No. And so the thing of it is, if you talk to many women, a guy being good is not first on their list. This is what I'm trying to tell you guys. Look
right.
That paper up, Love Lessons, Decoding the Desire for the Bad Boy. When you ask a woman...
Mr. Lucian, you don't tell a woman your whole portfolio, do you? So
what do you mean, Michael? Be specific.
Well, I mean, no. I'm just saying, like a drug dealer. He's not going to tell every woman. I agree.
No,
with
but you
most
can see.
Know.
You can see that he has money. You can see that he's fly. You can see his ring.
Right.
You can see his car. You can see the way that
exactly.
He has ease in spending money. Now, I've been mistaken for that dude. When I'm not that dude.
Well, there's no mistake about it, Beasley.
And a lot of drug dealers use a lot of young women who are also culpable as mules. And the thing of it is, they wine them and dine them, and a woman is very attracted to money, inappropriately so, most of the time.
Like
and then a lot of these women are serving prison sentences because in the federal system they have what's called these mandatory minimums. So a lot of young women are serving time in prison as a result of their collaboration in the drug industry. So you guys may want to check that out. But please read the article, Love Lessons, comma, or colon, Decoding the Desire for the Bad Boy. And these are American women. And shifting back to that documentary on Brazil, and this is just not me saying it. If it were just my issue, as some of the less intelligent people will conclude, then it wouldn't be an issue because it would be de minimis. However, if you look at the overwhelming, expression of men, a lot of men have actually moved to Brazil. And so women aren't selling their beauty down there. They're very attractive women. They're mixed with what's called Native American, Portuguese, and also African, just from an ethnicity standpoint. And they're very beautiful women, statuesque. Picturesque women, and they are taught culturally to respond to men differently. Like one guy in the documentary, he talked about just going up to a woman, just approaching her, and how receptive the women are. Now, often I talk of women approaching men, you know, from the American perspective, but at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter who approaches whom. But if you don't approach... And then you are a jerk when men approach you. I mean, you've locked out two of the three ways that you meet. And the other one, of course, is vis-a-vis referral, someone else referring you to. And so, but those are some of the things that I would give you guys. Go ahead.
What are the consequences of getting somebody from Brazil? You gave all the pros, and now come on, you're educated, Mr. Solution. You're giving all the pros, but what are the consequences?
Well, you need to look at the documentary. Now, I don't suggest Brazil personally because Brazil is what I suggest, if you want to hear my suggesting, is going to U.S. territories and what we would call commonwealths, like, Guam, Puerto Rico, Hawaii is not part of the contiguous U.S.
When was the last time you were over in Guam?
Excuse me?
When were you ever in Guam?
I have not been to Guam, but I do, and the reason I mentioned these, the U.S. Virgin Islands also, and American Samoa, the reason I mentioned these places, gentlemen, is because one can get educated women from there who have transferable skills, and you don't have to sponsor them per the U.S. immigration, unless you go to Brazil to actually live there. If you bring the woman here, you are responsible for her. She can be a method of, like, not child support, but same thing, or what you would call spousal support. You will have to support her. But if she comes from one of these five areas that I just mentioned, she's a U.S. citizen, just with different cultural underpinning.
That's a good point.
All right, hold on for a minute. Let me bring Joe. What you wowing about?
No, he's wowing at Mr. Solutions' acumen.
Right.
He just figured it out.
I'm wowing about his calculations. I'm wowing about his calculations in trying to find a woman.
Okay.
You know, laws and jurisdiction and all of that.
Let me just raise that to one extra level because my interest is always a business angle.
Hold on, Mr. Solutions.
A lot of you guys who don't have any jobs.
All right. Golly. All right, Mr. Solution, I'm trying to get other people in now. Hold on. All right, hold on. All right, I want to welcome Joe and Maze to the show. Welcome to the show, y'all. How y'all doing?
Hey.
Hello.
Hey.
That's a couple right there.
All right. So which one of y'all speaking first?
Man, there goes Beasley with a sense of humor.
There you go. Somebody needs that one.
Good men let women speak first.
There you go.
If they have any, you know.
Well, that means you got to be the last there, Maze.
Mm. What you say?
Nothing.
Okay, so what's on your mind, Maze?
When you ask the question is where all the good men are, why does the conversation turn on about somebody? We're talking about American women, American men. Some men don't know how to treat women, the reason they don't have a good woman. Some women don't know how to treat men, the reason they don't have a good man. And some women look at it and start running because of the attitude they have when you see them.
Oh, you mean when they have a good attitude or a bad attitude?
A bad one.
You know what?
You can see them you can smell them when you see them coming. You know, like married women get hit on just like single women do.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. You know, what Mr. Solution says is true, though.
What is that?
Being a bit indifferent, unavailable, not necessarily a complete asshole, but having the courage and the guts to speak your mind and maybe disagree with them. Women are intrigued by that. They kind of like that. The puppy dog that lays down. That's sending them roses within meeting them right away. I know a lot of women that are repelled by that. They go, oh, God, he sent me roses. I can't stand it. Now, when they like a man and he sends them some flowers, they can like it. But a man sending flowers or being, a knight, portraying himself as a knight in shining armor, particularly beautiful women. Beautiful women. I've met beautiful women. And to start off talking to them, you know, everyone tells them how beautiful they are. I might say, you know, it's really sad that your mother and father dealt you this hand because, you know, you're really unattractive. I don't see how you make it through life like this. I don't see how you can deal with this. Every single time it works.
That's
to a beautiful woman. Every single time it at least gets a smile and some laughter, and it's up to me to take it from there. Mm-hmm. But don't listen to me because I don't have any game.
Well, a good man he's always a gentleman. He's never out of place, regardless if it's with a woman with money or a woman without money. He knows how to charm and respect.
Right.
Some men don't have the sense to do that.
You know what?
They think they do. I don't.
Let me respond when you finish to that
term. Go ahead.
Term,
you go
good.
Ahead, Mr. Lucian. Go ahead.
I want to respond to this term good. First of all, this term good, and I want you to hear me very carefully because I'm going to be surgical. The term good is not in a woman's vocabulary with respect to a man. That is not a term that is important to her. She may say that she wants a man that's funny. She may say she wants a man that will make her laugh.
Right.
She may say she wants a man that is, quote, unquote, exciting. And remember,
rich.
She lives vicariously through the man. She's
what?
Not oftentimes, now Eric put up the point here, what does she bring to the table? What she brings to the table is not in view. It's all about him. Now, these are particularly American women, and it's not all their fault. We actually allow American women to be basically unfit to be girlfriend and wife material. And see, we don't talk about this. Now, I read the court record. Let me just finish this point. When you read the court record, you see all of this comes out. Now, it doesn't come out in our little conversations such as we're having here now, generally. But it comes out in the court record in terms of compatibility or incompatibility. But women don't look for good men. That is not important to women.
Now, can I speak?
American women.
I cannot speak for a man because I'm not one. I'm speaking for women. Women look for good men. I just gave you a description of a good man, not one that put women down, not one that see her as coming to get you every time you look at her. I mean, undressing her with your eyes. Those are not good men. And then one that disrespects a woman. That's not a good man. I told you what
well,
a good man
I
is.
I tell you guys, I'm sorry, had you finished, Maze?
No. So I'm a woman, I'm telling you what women look for. I can't tell you what men look for because I am not a man.
Well, you know something? I think it depends on what the woman wants at that particular
That's
time.
That's right.
Now, a woman, a lot of the times, may be looking for a good time, to have some fun. She may be getting out of a serious relationship. Now, I guess as a woman gets older, and women are different. As a woman gets older, she may be looking more for a mate and someone that she would like to settle down with, maybe marriage and kids and all that. And I guess maybe that's when a woman would be looking for, a good man, what was considered a good man. But I would say probably up until a lot of women now these days with careers, they may go up into 35 and 40 and close to 40 years old before they really start looking for a good man. But again, women are just like any other group of people that you can't generalize.
And also, Mr. B, some of them are looking for citizenship to become citizens of this country. That's why they marry some men from other countries, not just because they want to be here.
Can take this conversation to the field, and I encourage you to do so, and just ask women. Just strike up a conversation with a fairly attractive woman, say a 7 and above, and just ask her what she's looking for in a man. And I'm going to guarantee you, now I don't bet too often, but I guarantee you $100, the word good will not come up in the conversation.
I want to know what men are looking for, not women. I'm a woman. I want to know what
men
are
different just like women.
The word good won't come. Well, see, what men want is generally just an attractive woman that's available.
I got to disagree with you on that one. Because
okay, you may not quite understand what I'm saying.
Well, you said we just want somebody who's attractive and available. Then she got to have more than that, dog.
But you won't know if she has more than that unless that is available. Understand the process. There's a process here. That's why I tell you guys, please read that article, Love Lessons, Decoding the Desire for the Bad Boy. And I'll just give you a nugget out of the article. Generally, a man is attracted to the smiling face of a woman, especially an attractive woman.
Right. They smile at you. That's a good sign.
But wait a minute.
That's a green light. That's like go.
No, not necessarily.
Well, first of all, what they're looking for in a woman.
I'm trying to give you guys a contrast. If you reverse that, A woman is not attracted to the smiling face of a man. In America. I'm talking about
yes,
American
are.
Women.
Yes, they are.
Because they're brainwashed.
Yes, they
no,
are.
No, how can you
say that?
No, I'm agreeing
come
with
on,
Mr. Solutions
man.
Here.
All right, hold on.
If that were true, men and women would be mated. It is the woman that makes the decision
all right,
whether
hold
or not.
On.
Mutual attraction.
All right. Only one person going to talk at a time. And, Joe, you go ahead because I know you've been trying to get in. So go ahead, Joe.
All right. You got to make the distinction between a mutual attraction, the initial attraction, and what somebody wants beyond just the attraction. Women are attracted to men who smile nicely, who are friendly, just as they are not attracted to men who are not friendly because these women do want men who are unavailable. What a man wants, of course, is the physical plant and, you know, relatively attractive, relatively intelligent woman. But beyond that, he wants more than that. He
exactly.
wants some depth.
Well, that's
two
men.
You
know they
what?
They
want to
give
I,
what kind of woman they're looking for.
Did he say that women want men who are unavailable?
Say that again.
Did you say that women want men who are unavailable?
Oh, big time.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true.
I agree with that. That's why I asked. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Women like the challenge, and I'm agreeing with Mr. Solutions. And I don't know. I mean, I'm just looking back in my history, and I shouldn't say this, but it's the truth. I don't like sevens or eights. I like nines and tens. And I've had nines and tens. And I know how to deal with nines and tens. And let me put it like this. Any dog male can chase the cat, okay? But the dog male that can make the cat chase the dog, that's a whole different scenario that goes against what people think is the tradition of a man pursuing a woman. But some indifference, some not being available, some shortness with them, treating the beautiful woman different than everyone else will make them pursue you. Some ugly guys understand this and have this mastered. You will see a lot of ugly guys with a beautiful woman, and you wonder, how did that happen? Because the guy has some game about himself.
Now, define game, Beasley. What is game?
Oh, I just love your little square ass. I like you to death.
well, thank the hell
okay,
out
no,
of
no,
you.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
Define game.
I'm versatile in lexicon, a man with moxie.
Okay, that's energy. But what is game from a woman's vantage point? What is that? Because see, the reason I ask you this is very important because no damn body knows what it is. They talk
no,
about
no,
it.
No,
all
no, no. People do
what it
you
is.
Don't,
we don't know.
Let
that's
me explain it to you. A man with moxie, a man with what's a antonym or synonym of moxie? A man with
That would be non-energy. But see, oh, okay.
Moxie is courage.
There's no definition for the crazy
term.
But let me say this. Going back to what you guys said a moment ago, if that is true, if a woman wants a man that's unavailable, that is a social, psychological malfunction. Right there.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wait a minute. And if you move further, you're as crazy as she is because you've already identified a major problem.
Right.
No, I'm talking about beautiful women. Okay?
I'm not talking about beautiful women.
I'm talking about the woman that is pursued all the time, that when she goes out just driving to work, there's men that are gawking at her. When she walks down the hallway, she knows that she's beautiful. She's used to men, you know, rolling out the red carpet for her.
Trust me, I know what I'm talking about. I can define game because I wouldn't ask you to define something that I didn't know the definition of.
Okay, all right. You know what? I'm looking for another word. I'm looking for some. Here's some synonyms. Okay, synonyms. A man with chops, with expertise, with know-how. A man with proficiency. A person that's savvy. A person.
But in what?
Pardon me?
Well, let's make it simple. A fucking person who knows how to make a girl attracted to him.
I mean, everyone else understands what game is, and it's okay.
But wait a minute. If that were true, then we wouldn't have this totally fucked up relationship between men and women.
All right, hold on. Hold on. Everybody hold on. I'm going to play a clip. I'm finna play a clip right now. And when we come back, we'll talk about this clip. And the clip is Black Women Can't Find a Man by Dr. Tart. So see y'all on the other side.
Hi, I'm Dr. Aldewan Tart, positive psychologist, teen and parenting expert, as well as relationship expert for teen girls as well as women. I'm doing this vlog as a follow-up to the ABC Nightline special that aired, Why a Successful Black Woman Can't Find a Man. I think there are three primary reasons that you may have never heard that actually contribute to why successful black women cannot find a man. Number one, lack of access to men. I don't think that, contrary to what you hear in the media, that a lot of women are doing things wrong. I mean, how many books are out there about what you're doing wrong? Women are tired of hearing that. I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think the primary problem for most women is that they lack access to professional men. Part of the reason is, after college and after you've tired of going to the clubs, there's simply no place for where black men and black women come together to simply converse. Where we hang out as men, women don't hang out. The club scene is played. Plus, it's not the best place to meet someone because you're in a different mindset. It's hard. So if you go and you work and you don't work around men or you don't want to date the men where you work, you can go months, sometimes years without seeing five or six quality brothers. But they're there. They're all over. I'm based in Atlanta, Georgia. Single men are all over the place. The problem is we don't hang out the same place, and we are just as frustrated as black women are because we can find quantity, but finding quality, that is very difficult. Now, what I mean by quality is that every man has his standard of what he's looking for in a wife. And what most men, when they're ready to settle down, they kind of like hunt. We go out and we hunt, and we see the woman that has some wife potential, or at least we get that wife vibe, then we are going to try and make her acquaintance. And a lot of times that's not in a club, okay? So the biggest thing that we can do, a solution, is create venues, house parties, get-togethers, social outings that are not the club, to where single friends and single people can come mix. If we see a beautiful woman, then we're going to approach and we're going to make conversation. The problem is we have to get black women and black men in the same room outside the club element and then see what happens. I think nature's going to take its course. Number two, successful doesn't necessarily mean anything to a man. A man bases his identity on being successful. When looking for a mate, he doesn't necessarily want you to be successful, unless it's successful at turning him from Clark Kent into Superman. Being able to be an asset to your man is an absolute necessity if you want to at least be girlfriend and definitely if you want to be a wife. See, men are consumed by power. We work out all day. We work a lot because we want to get more power, more money, more influence. We want to be bigger. We want more money. Hey, if you can help us to do those things, and you can, that's why married men are smiling, because their wives are helping them out so much. Single men want the same thing. If you're an asset, you help us eat better. You help us become more balanced. You help us improve our relationship with our family. You help us improve our relationship with God. You help us to be just happier and more balanced. These are the things that a woman brings to the table. These are the things that single men see their married friends having, and we want to have it. It's not about how successful you are at work, all right? That doesn't mean anything to a man. We want to know how successful you are at helping us to reach our dreams and improving our lives and our happiness. And a fine, gorgeous, smart, intelligent woman who's a lot of fun, who's inspiring and encouraging, can be an asset to any man as far as I'm concerned. Finally, number three. The third reason I think that successful black women are having a hard time meeting successful black men is that you have too much pride. And I'm saying that in a positive way. Now, I know you don't want to look like you're looking. That's what I mean by pride. I'm not saying that you should be depressed when looking for a man. That's ridiculous. But what you should be is not too proud to look like you're looking. I see so many women that go out and they look mad. Now, I know. It's a lot. You don't want to be out. You'd rather be at home with your man. But when you're out, I think what you think is a neutral look is actually comes off to a man as negative. And you look like you're not looking. You look like you don't want anyone to talk to you. And I understand that from a woman's ego standpoint. He who findeth a good wife findeth a good thing, right? So you're not trying to look like you want to be found. But that's just the problem. Men look at your body language to figure out whether or not they should approach. If you're not smiling and engaging, we don't know whether or not you like us or not. If you just simply smile and then turn your eye contact in another direction and maybe look at us one more time, it's our job as men to come up to you. We just need that one smile, and a black woman's smile, especially one that has a lot of positive attitude, a lot of positive energy, who knows that she's fine, who knows what an asset she can be to a man. She knows that with her, I'm twice the man, and without her, I'm half the man. A woman with that much confidence, she's going to get a lot of attention no matter where she goes. So women, please implement those three things, okay? We want to meet you. You want to meet us, so let's make it happen. Let's stop complaining and arguing and blaming one another, and let's work together so we can get some more marriages together. If you want more of this information, hey, I did write a book called The Ring Formula, How to Marry Mr. Right. I put it all in there. I'm not selling it to make money. I've given away more of these books than I've actually sold because I'm about empowerment. If we have more couples marrying, then we can improve the status of the black family and, in essence, improve the status of our community. That's what it's all about. So if you have any questions, send me an email, drtart@drtart.com, or if you want to book me for a speaking engagement or for a panel, I love to serve. I'm a servant, so that's what I do. Take care. My name is Dr. Tart. God bless.
All right, that's Dr. Tart, y'all. And the man, I said, he said a whole lot. Basically what we all have been saying. But I'm finna open up the mics. I want to welcome Renee to the panel. And I know Renee got something to say. And we're going to go on and get it hot and popping. All right. Hello, Renee. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful.
It's great. Hi, everybody.
Hey, Renee.
Hello, Renee.
Hello. Hello.
Yeah, I was listening to the clip, and I agree with him 150%. And I try to tell black women, you know, that's one of my pet peeves that we do as black women is that mean mug face. And as a black woman, black women do it to me all the time. You know, it's not really any different.
What?
And, you know, I tend to approach them, and I will kind of break that barrier and be friendly with them. And then a lot of times these are the most friendly, nice black women you could meet. But we have that armor. We have a lot of armor on us that we present to the world. And that armor is there to protect us, but it also keeps good men out too. Because then, you know, they become like, well, I'm not going to talk to her. She has an attitude, you know. She's got a mean look on her face. And I told black women before, you know, one of the main things you can do just to see a change is to smile at somebody or say hello to somebody, especially to black men. And, like, I will, wherever I am, if I see a black man, a black person, period, but a black man, I will always speak, smile, say hello. And you do not know the responses that black men will give you. They'll be like, oh, my gosh. I mean, like, they're shocked. And I've been in, like, stores, like in Quick Trip or whatever, and black men are in there, and I'll speak and say hi. And I've had black men be like, let me get your drink for you. Let me get this. Let me get that. You know, you don't often see black women who are friendly or who speak or who smile even. And I'm like, wow, that's bad. And I got to say it about, you know, my sisters. We bad with that. We are bad.
All right, what's the quote?
Words, Renee.
I have a question. What do men think
women run from them? Why do the men think women run from them? Since we have a panel on men discussing women.
Bad breath.
Okay.
But sometimes men, this is the thing with men. It's like a catch-22 because men sometimes can be too aggressive and overly aggressive. And a lot of times the men who are too aggressive are not the ones you're attracted to. The men who you are attracted to, who are approaching you, they're much milder. And, you know, you hear that thing about the bad boy thing and things like that. But sometimes those men are just the ones who were aggressive enough to step to a woman. And so she just went with the flow. I mean, you have to understand there's different, you know, parts of this thing. It's not just all about having a bad boy and all that. You know, some women I really think are into that. But sometimes it's just that a man, he stood up, he came to her, he stepped to her, and she was like, okay. And bad boys are just more so like that than, you know, sometimes the good guy or what people may call the nerd or whatever you want to call it. They're more a little bit more meek and mild.
Women are attracted
to
confidence.
So this goes back to that terminology. Yes. I wanted to get back to that terminology because, Mr. Solution, you're starting to be like me. You start to ask people, what does that mean? And when you start to ask them what do they mean, it starts to mess up because these words we must define because really it's a confusion out here. Renee, is that you're saying that a guy has game, he has swagger, this quote-unquote bad guy that people say, he has more confidence to go and talk to this woman. Is that what we're saying, that a guy has game? Is it like a certain swagger that he has where these women like these quote-unquote bad guys or these, you know?
Yes and no. That initial part in approaching her is not really about game. That's just about confidence. That's just about I'm confident as a man to see you. You look nice, and I'm going to step to you, let you know you look nice, and I'm going to ask you for your number or to talk to you or whatever. That part is just confidence. That's not really into game yet. And, you know, I'm sorry, but a lot of those guys have it, and the women do. We respond to confidence. We love a confident man. Just don't be overly confident, but be confident and swag or whatever you want to call it. I mean, unfortunately, you know, a lot of women do, you know, look for that. I mean,
why unfortunately?
Sorry.
Yeah, why unfortunately?
Because sometimes that's not a real indication of the type of man it is.
Well,
you know,
I
women
think,
sometimes get hung up in that. You
know
what I'm saying?
Well, right, that's preliminary.
I think the reality is be yourself. And if you're naturally confident, which means you're confident because you believe in yourself, because you've accomplished some things, you've done some things, you know, and your confidence can extend to a lot of areas. I'm a very confident person. And if you're being yourself, it's going to show. It's going to come naturally. It's not going to be contrived. And Mr. Solution, when I look at one of the definitions of moxie, the first one is energy, but if you go down a few of them, it says know-how. That's how I meant it, know-how. Game is know-how.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
A good definition of game is know-how.
Yeah, it's nice to talk about all this new age stuff. But if Jay-Z were to approach Beyonce right now, after her having about 3 or 4 platinum albums, and if Jay-Z were not Jay-Z, starting out as he did years ago, approaching her now, he would get nowhere.
Right.
So all this means nothing.
Right. Well, I'm not going to say that. This is what I'm going to say, because I've been following Jay-Z from the beginning. He always still had a presence. He is not at all attractive to me at all. But his presence also has influence. Now, of course, he has money. You know, we cannot discount the money. But he's got another element on top of that. It's another part to that.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
and then what kind of man would you run from?
Jeez.
What kind of man would I run from?
Yes, that you wouldn't have the time of day with.
One with bad breath. One that disagreed with her. One that tried to stop her from talking.
Absolutely not. Oh. No. I can have a conversation with anyone.
Like, what are you looking
they
for
don't have
in a man?
To agree with me.
What are you looking for in a man?
confidence, intelligence, respect for himself and other people, good hygiene, has all his teeth. he takes care of himself, his body, and how he dresses. Like, those things, it's not even about all of this money or whatever, but you still need to present yourself in a proper way. I mean, that's a representation of who you are. So I'm not, like, really about labels and all that kind of stuff. That's petty. But just him presenting himself, and then somebody who's ambitious. Because, you know, when you just, I don't want somebody who's just settled, like, they're just satisfied with just the mediocre. You know what I mean? They're satisfied with just the lowest level. You know what I mean? I want someone who is.
Then the confidence doesn't mean a damn thing.
Well, initially it does.
Initially, the girl likes you because you've got confidence, but because you're not as ambitious as she would like you to be, so a couple of months later she says, well, he's not my type.
That happens all the time.
Well, that just proves the point.
That happens all the time.
No.
Well, I think we're just talking about the preliminaries, Joe.
But hold on.
About.
All right, before
Joe,
y'all get
Joe,
into
it. That happens all the time with women.
Listen, before y'all get all your panties all up in a bunch, okay, it matters. It matters, okay? Mr. Cleveland, you got something you want to add?
Yeah, I want to say I was listening to Renee was talking about what I guess her ideal man would be or what she would be attracted to. And one of the things I heard her say that he has to take care of himself, be in good physical condition. Now, a lot of women say that. They want a man in good physical condition. But some women ain't in all that good physical condition they damn self. But yet they want a man who looks good, who works out, who got the muscles. But then when a man comes to them and they get with him and he says, well, hey, I want you to get on my level. Not saying that you have to do what I do in the gym, but I want you to tone it down. I want you to lose some weight. I want you to, you know, it's a problem with a lot of black women. And then the first thing a lot of them say is, well, you know, I ain't into all that like you. I'm not Mr. Fitness like you. You know, you can work out. Your endurance is better than mine. Then it's all these, like, it's not so much excuses, but it's like it is excuses. Well, let me take that back. It is, but then they bring it back on the man as if he's saying something wrong to him or that he feels like he's better than them. But my thing is, why would you want someone to be all this and that and then you're not that your damn self?
Everybody has unrealistic expectations.
Yeah, but let me respond to that on the black woman tip, because you are absolutely correct. The thing is, I said, you know, for me, I want a man that takes care of himself. You know, I'm just saying
in general.
No, I know. I'm saying I'm not attracted to heavy men. I'm just not like that. I mean, not really, really, not heavy in a sense of heavy, but heavy like heavy. You know what I mean? Just like most men are. You know what I mean? I'm not asking for anybody who's any less than what I already am, or any more than what I already am. And I think a lot of what happens though is, for black men, when you approach these women, okay, you have to understand how she was when you met her. Now, if when you met her, she was looking good and she was slim or whatever, and then over time she put on weight. That absolutely,
no.
You have all right.
You
wait a minute.
The whole point of
you
what
have,
I even asked.
I know, but wait.
Why is it that black women put expectations on what they want in a man as far as his physical physique? I ain't even talking about what she put
because
on over time. They may want a man right off the bat who's physically fit, but yet they not in that same condition is what I'm saying.
Because of two reasons. One, the whole definition of thick and fat has been screwed up, okay? Number two, because too many of these dusty Negroes, dudes that's in and out of prison, you know, dudes that want a woman to take care of them, they're getting
with the bigger girl. Cats in prison.
That is the answer. That's the answer. And so then these women begin to have expectations.
Call
and feel like they're, you know, I look good, this man got with me, you know, and that whole fix thing, that's been blown out of proportion. That's a real answer.
Hold on. Why did you get them from the guys coming out of jail now? I don't know. Where
exactly.
did you bring that in? I mean, where
exactly.
did that come
from?
When guys come out of jail, they're more healthy, and most guys in jail are more healthier than people that's not in jail.
I'm not talking
they're real,
about
they're
health.
They're real physically.
I'm not talking
okay, so
about
what
health.
You mean?
I'm talking about these men, a lot of time, need somewhere to rest their head. They need access to vehicles. They need money. They need to eat. They need all these kind of things coming out of the yellow prison. And a lot of times it's heavy women. Wait a minute. A lot of times it's heavy women.
All right. Dang. There y'all go again. All right. Finish, Renee.
Okay, I'm finished. A lot of times it's heavy women. I'm sorry. I'm a woman. I know these things on the woman's side. So y'all can
see
how y'all feel.
That's what
but
that's
a lot
true.
Of heavy – can I finish? A lot of heavy women, a lot of heavy women will take these dudes in. I'm sorry. That's the reality. It's
okay.
a lot of big women.
I
want to
say this. I want to say when
that's
it comes
true.
From guys in jail, hold on. When it comes from the guys in jail, don't put that on these heavy women. There are some women who look nice
oh
and sweet. They listen
I'm
to
not
me. Hold on. I know, but you're saying something. But I was one of the. It's just not the heavy women. Women in general. Some women in general like people who come home from jail because they know they're healthy. Right, they know that they're gonna tam up in the bedroom, and they are
right.
available. Mm-hmm. And guess what? And listen, some of these women wants to that control because they can have that guy.
Right,
he may have a little rough side to him. She has
right.
money. She knows that he has to get on his feet, so he may
right.
get
right.
A nice job, but she's making more money, and that's just what it is because she got a man, and it is what it
both
is.
You,
but
both of you were right.
Heaven says that.
I wonder what the solution
think
about
says that. Hold on. Listen to me. Heaven said that there's nothing wrong with that because that's a black woman who's helping up a black man. Only thing I say is that guy, when he gets on his feet, don't leave that black woman. She put you
mm-hmm.
on your feet
oh, man,
when you came
on.
Up. That's the only thing that I say. Because guys will do that.
Of course he's going to leave her, and that's if he gets on his feet. They got cats out there now.
Okay.
Let me say this. They got cats out there now that have made this a way of life.
Right.
And they'll go from
that's
way. And I talk to a cat, and I know. And he's an associate of mine. I wouldn't say I call him a friend. He calls them low self-esteem Jenny Creek broads, except he doesn't say broads. I'm just respecting the show. He calls them Jenny Craig broads. He said he loves them. He says he seeks them out. He said he could
yep.
smell them from a mile away. He says
and
he
they
does,
can see these big women.
And he targets them.
Absolutely.
And
I wonder what.
Go ahead.
Well, we're agreeing on
that. He doesn't have many other options other than that. So that's his way of survival.
Yep.
And I guess
yep.
she gets what she wants, but, you know, he'll move. And usually this particular cat, he doesn't target the black ones. He doesn't target the black ones. So there is a segment of
that's
black
true.
Men the population that this is their way of getting by.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So what do we Gelson
right.
think
all
about
right.
it?
Hold on, Mike. If you expect him to stay loyal to this woman, it ain't about this woman. It's about himself.
Nope.
You know, and women do the same thing too. They'll be with the guy until they can find somebody better, or the better dude comes around, they jump ship and get to him. So there's no loyalty out there.
Nope.
All right.
Beasley's 100% on that one. He's 150%. Because they target.
Hold on, Renee. Hold on. Hold on, Renee. Hold on. All right. Maze, you had something to say?
I wonder what Mr. Solution has to say about that conversation.
I want to hear what her friend got to say.
Okay.
What's his comment?
On what?
He wants a size 7 woman, and every woman is in the gutter. And Renee came up with a different solution about men. What is his solution on what she just discussed? What do you think about? Mr.
Okay.
Solution.
Yeah,
well, specifically, what did hi, this is Miss. What did the lady say specifically?
Oh, you didn't hear?
What did Renee say specifically? Guys with not a lot of options.
Well, we don't need to go right through it.
Guys with not a lot of options, you know, that may have a criminal record, that have a hard time finding employment, that they target,
and they deal with overweight women that are looking that will provide some comfort for them, that will provide some of the basic needs.
Right.
That's what she was talking about.
Absolutely, absolutely. Guys with low self-esteem, this sort of thing. But I don't think that's really the conversation. Okay, number one, when Eric just played the clip, one of the things that the gentleman said that, and I've heard him before, by the way, if you look at that ABC clip talking about successful black women, and we may want to define success, but the way they were defining it, a woman who has a college education, regardless as to what it's in, it could be in underwater basket weaving. She has a degree. She has a little job, a semblance of a job. It doesn't talk about her credit. But anyway, education and some sort of job is considered, quote, unquote, successful as far as that clip went. Now, what he did say that was very important, that the women are not making themselves available. He did say that. People, we're making this overly complicated.
No.
All a man and a woman have to do, just like we meet here and talk about issues on it, well, some of you every day, but that's all women have to do is just participate in the process. Now, what the guys in the documentary in Brazil are saying, it's much easier to interact socially with the Brazilian women than it is American women.
Of course, if they're looking for a passport to have American citizenship, why wouldn't it be easy?
Well, Maze, you're skewing everything to fit your scenario. That's not correct.
No. I'm just
because wait a minute. Let me finish. Because if you what did you see
what
the
you
documentary
think
first of all?
Is what
did
I
you see
know.
The
I want
documentary?
About, what do you think
I
of
did.
American
I
success?
Did.
Not a documentary. I want to know off your head. What do you think?
Okay. Well,
said?
What you need to do, Maze, is look at the documentary. It's
now,
hard
I need to see the documentary because I have a man. I don't need to look at
okay, but you're talking about a problem that you're not really familiar with. Okay, Renee, what did you say? You saw the documentary and what?
Yes, I did. And, you know, watching that documentary, I was just like, wow. Because, you know, with these black men were going to Brazil and they're talking about these women putting them on pedestals. But the thing that I did not understand is y'all were having to pay these women. You're not going down here getting a woman for free. These women, you have to pay them. They're getting money from you to be sweet and nice and kind and feminine and gentle with you. They're getting paid money to be on your arm. So how can you then qualify that? How can you qualify that as being authentically feminine and sweet
good
and nurturing?
Right. Good
right.
point.
You know, when you're finished with that, because
you are
misrepresenting the documentary. Well, usually there's money involved from the man. There's money involved from the man for any interaction with a woman. Now, I think that should be lessened, but it was not just about that. I would encourage you to re-review the documentary because it dealt with just the basic human element. The women there
But was he not paying? But were they not talking about money and paying those women, though? Come on.
Wait a minute. Let's not talk about
those men are broke down there getting just treated like that. Let's be clear.
The women there were more emotionally available. That was the point.
The women there were getting their money. And that's where black men get hung up at and confused. The women there were getting their money. Now, when you talk about other races, you're talking about Hispanics and things like that, the men know that they are considered from the jump the protector and provider. What you have is a dynamic between black men and black women where, again, I've said this before, black women from day one, we had to work like men. Okay, we never had that feminine thing to sit up and put our feet up. So you are talking about a completely different dynamic between black women and black men. So black women have always had to be in the workforce, always, since we got here. So when you talk about being black women in general across the board, we could not just be sit back and taken care of. We could not. Come on. We had
black women were maids,
wet nurses, clean floors, cooked food. We did all kinds of stuff from day one. We never
Renee,
had that
I think
luxury.
You're being a bit unrealistic because in today's economy, you pretty much need two paychecks to run
right.
a household.
There's
but
two
I'm
checks,
just,
and
I'm
and
not
my grandma
that.
And my grandmother didn't leave the house to go do work until she was after 40 years old, and she had given birth to four kids. My grandfather supported everything. So, anytime you use absolutes with anything,
no, I'm not saying absolutes. So y'all know I'm not. I've said that a million times. I never speak in absolutes.
Yes, you do.
I'm just saying, no, I don't. But
you should listen to, you should listen to yourself because you. I
don't
never
intend
hear,
it to be
I
absolute.
Never hear
and
you
I told
say.
You that.
I never hear you say some or most. You always speak, and I think that's part of why I disagree with you a lot. Is because you speak in general terms. Just listen to yourself. I'm not fighting with
I've
you.
I've told you that a million times. You know I'm not speaking to absolutes. Okay. Some black women, many
black
women.
It's going to make your mess.
Okay. All right. I don't know what's really going on. All this over talking to people. Oh, my goodness. Mr. Cleveland, what you got for me?
Hey, I just want to say, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I missed it or whatever, but I still feel like I didn't get no clear answer from Renee. I asked her about why is it that the women want the men to have a gift of seeking all that, but then they're not in shape their own self, and she jumped off the guys in penitentiary calling brothers dusty. And so, I mean, it still never – I mean, I'm not clear on that. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I missed something.
Well, okay. Mr. Talk, have I been muted all this long? I've been trying to get something in. Mr. Solution. I want to go back to what you said.
Okay, you just got muted again. Good Lord. Did you see somebody else talking? You just going to pop in. Okay, anyway, who was speaking? Somebody was speaking. Nobody?
Well, it was me. I said what I had to say, though.
I'm still trying to answer his question.
Okay, answer his question, then we'll let Mike talk.
Okay, I mean, there's no real straight-up answer I can give you as to why a woman feels like just because that she's not in shape, but she can desire that from a man. I think, again, I'm trying to tell you, I think it's the way, the breakdown that is played out, that heavier women have been getting play for men. Now, depending on what type of man it is, but heavy-set black women have been getting play. So now you go into a time where they feel like, I want a man that looks good. And it doesn't matter if my body is not to where his is, but that's what I want. And a lot of times getting played. I mean, I don't know. Yeah.
Do you think that, and I had a discussion not that long ago with the guy I work with every day on my job, because we partners on the job. So I asked him, he didn't agree with me, but I think this to be true. That big women, to me, and they never shied away from it. They never said that it's not true. They seem to have to work harder. Now, I'm not saying, not taking nothing away from them because we got some bitches out here that look good. But to me, it seems like they have to dress better. They have to perform freakier in the bed with guys.
Absolutely.
Because it's like they feel like I have to compete with bras who are smaller than me, with women who
mm-hmm.
are smaller than me, so I have to be the best at the sex. The head, the freakier,
mm-hmm.
the better,
mm-hmm.
the way I dress. And if you ever notice, a lot of big women, even though sometimes we see them and we say, why the hell would she wear that? Who told her that she looks good in that? She wears it because she feels like she has the sister who is smaller.
And men respond to it. That's what I'm trying
yeah.
to tell you. Men
mm-hmm.
respond. Because at the end of the day, men want their thing, okay? So if they want their thing, then it still puts women in the position of power, okay? So even if it's a heavy woman and she's still getting placed for men, then she can say, well, my requirements for you are to be not fat, but even though I'm overweight. You know what I'm saying? So I can't – there's no real just one answer for that. It's just kind of
yeah. –
I don't know.
All right.
Yeah, may I make a point here, Eric?
Go ahead. Michael,
yeah, one of the things I want to dispel a myth, if it's possible.
Michael.
Hello.
Go ahead, Mr. Solution. Michael, I say when you get
thank
you, talking,
thank
you. You can ask
yeah,
your question.
I want to dispel a comment, if possible. And this it's this scripture that's misquoted. It says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing." And there's another scripture also that says, "He who finds a prudent wife." But notice, a lot of churches and I'm going to say black American women misconstrue that passage. That is not saying he who finds a woman. It says he who finds a wife, and obviously that's a process. But what they do is transpose the word woman for wife. Most of the time, when which means they don't participate in the process, as we've said, and as your clip, the speaker said, the women are not making themselves available. So, you know, he said they're not smiling, they're just not presenting themselves. And there's nothing wrong with the woman just striking up a conversation with the guy. But the difference between a wife and a woman are oceans. And so women shouldn't use that scripture to not participate, because you're not a wife. That's an end process. That's an end product. You're just a woman. So you need to be, if you're interested in a relationship with a man, you need to be involved. Now, moreover, I would say watch the documentary with frustrated black men in America, I mean frustrated black American men in Brazil. And so these men, and we're not saying, I'm not saying any woman should be devoted to be with any man. That's not what I'm saying. But in the overall process of just socializing, what I understand the documentary to be saying is that the Brazilian women are more social. And being more social means that they interact pleasantly with more men. And as a result of that, they're able to be coupled off much more so than women who have a bellicose, inimical, or enemy-type combative attitude. And our system, Joe likes to talk about this a lot, but I believe the government has promoted public policy to have American men and women at each other's throats. And so that's why 80% of your divorces are filed by women, and we have over a 50% divorce rate, and there's a higher percentage of single people in America today than married people. So we really have a problem, Houston. And we need to go about addressing it. Now, my position would be is to, for American men, sure, you can look for a woman here, but look for women outside of the continental U.S. Those women are raised, they're socialized to be more compatible on the relationship scale, as it were. They're more emotionally available, and I think that helps a relationship a tremendous amount.
Can I speak
at
the mic?
See, she's being
no,
so
wait,
nice
wait.
Mike.
No, Mike, go ahead, Michael, because he's been waiting.
No, go
time.
Ahead. I'm listening. I wouldn't even say nothing after this about this. I'm listening to you guys.
His feelings are hurt now. Go ahead and talk.
No, I'm doing something to ask you.
You know you
okay,
want to talk.
Okay, well, go ahead, Maze.
Well,
Beasley, stop instigating.
Well,
just having a little fun.
I'm listening to people. Are they looking for a wife? Or what do you call it if you say you're 50, going on 60, and you never had a wife?
Oh, that's me. A
and
wife
you
want to is
go to Brazil to find a wife? So how
wife.
Do the scriptures fit those that never been married?
Right. Well, you know what? The scriptures ain't for everybody. Yes. And wife is a four-letter word. Wife rhymes with
some
strife.
Oh, Lord.
It does. It does. And you know
mind,
something? And Mr. Solution statistics that we all know, that 50% of all marriages end in divorce, and that 80% of divorces are filed by women. And if you look at the financial and emotional implications, it makes no sense to me why anybody would want to make those vows that are not true, that nobody
all right.
seems to live by.
All right, hold on. Hold on. Let me bring Antoinette in so she has a little bit to say. All right, hello, Antoinette.
Hello, Mr. Talk, and hello, everyone else.
Hello, Antoinette.
Hello, Maze. How are you?
Just marvelous.
Good. I'm happy to hear that. I think that, for one, people choose who they choose to choose, and, you know, if it works, it works. Hopefully it does work. I'd rather see relationships work than for them to break up. But how can anyone say for anyone who is the right person for them and what standards that they should accept? because what one person will accept is not something that someone else will accept. You don't know. So two people, they come together, hopefully as complete people, not being incomplete, but especially when you get to be in your 40s and 50s, you're complete that of yourself, that you know who you are, so you know what you want, and you're trying to achieve your own goals. Having someone else in your life is to make it better, but not that you're relying on that person to do everything for you, and that's a man or a woman.
Hmm.
And if you choose to go out to country to find your mate because you feel as though that there is no educated black women in America for you, then by all means, go wherever you choose to go. But that does not undermine the black women that are here.
Hmm.
And that is my point.
What is that?
Will?
Okay. Hold on.
Okay.
Okay, anybody, I mean, go ahead if anybody have any comments on that.
Yeah,
anybody?
Hello?
Yeah, okay. Hello? Go ahead.
Hello? Before this tab room. Hello?
Will somebody go?
Yeah, we can hear you.
We can hear you.
Right before the tab room ended, we were talking about somebody, talking about the Brazil documentary. And somebody was like, oh, well, you have to pay any woman. You have to pay any beautiful woman or whatever. That's not the same thing. Let's get that straight. In a relationship, there's give and take. And, you know, it's not just about the man spending out all this money. And if we want to really, really be honest, now, I love black men to my core. But let's be honest. A lot of black men are not going to spend their money. In fact, they look for ways not to spend their money with a woman. So if you're trying to hold on to that belief and that, and again, some, you're trying to hold on to that belief and that standard, that doesn't really fit. And I wanted to say, too, when you talk about women outside of America who are black or other, you know, ethnicities, you still cannot make a comparison to black women. That comparison will never be fair because when you talk about, for instance, Hispanic women, culturally, their society is the man is the provider, protector. The woman is the domestic. She takes care of the children primarily. Okay, we know
there's any culture outside of black,
but primarily that's how they operate. Okay, so you cannot then take a Hispanic woman who's come up culturally in that type of situation. You cannot then take her and compare her to a black woman who did not come up in that type of cultural situation. It's unfair to do. It's saying, oh, she is so much more domestic and loving and caring as a woman, and she this, she that. Look, you can't do that. That would be me. That would be fair for me then to compare black men to Hispanic women or to Hispanic men, excuse me, how they treat their women, or Asian men, how they treat their women, and they take care of their women, and they pay for their women, and they do all kind of things for their women. But black men don't want that comparison, but
well,
they will strictly compare black women to other races.
Well, let me say this, and
it's not about race, it's about culture. It's not about ethnicity, it's about culture.
Absolutely, and I would like to use a fact here, if you don't mind. If you look at the Department of Labor statistics, women
ethnicity
and
culture
men,
are one. There's no difference.
Women outnumber men in the workforce. So those women. Go ahead.
Hello? Well, let me get down the logic of this. Renee, you're wrong in your logic. You're saying, and forget about black men, black women. You're saying you can't compare black men, or let's say the black woman with the Spanish woman. Of course you can. That's what people do. They want to compare one particular culture with the other culture to find out who is more compatible with whom. And yeah,
absolutely.
You can compare. No. Yeah, hold on. And yeah, you can compare black men with the Spanish man to find out who might be more compatible with your values.
They're
just
still
like
men.
Some people want to leave the United States, go over to Asia to find an Asian woman as compared to the white chick that's over here. Yeah,
like when
that's a cop out. That's a
it's
cop
not
out.
A cop out. It's
a
cultural
yes, it is.
Comparison. And when you make the comparison, and if you find in general that there are women of a particular culture who treat you better in certain ways according to your values, better than the own women that you have within your own borders, you've made
a comparison. Yes, you can.
But this is where women can learn. This is where you can learn from women. You have some intelligent men. I don't agree with these men.
It's not comparing. It's contrasting, Joe.
Same thing. That's a distinction without a difference.
It's not the same thing. Comparing means similar. Contrasting means differences, factually.
Whatever, Mike.
Look those words up, Michael.
These are contrasting, comparing is different. Why do you use the word contrast?
Oh, God, they're cousins. We understand.
Come on. But Michael, please. You were doing okay.
I'm just playing.
Let's understand, too, that the man has to play his role. See, when you talk about these women of other, you know, ethnicities in other countries or whatever, again, their men fit a certain role and dynamic. So when you talk about black men then wanting with these women, they have to also fit that dynamic for what's expected
in
their culture.
That.
But no, that's not true. There's no problem with that.
Just listening to you, I don't think you want a solution.
What do you mean? That's not a solution.
I think you just want to argue.
No, the solution is black men and black women unifying. That's the solution.
These are women of African descent.
No, that's not the same thing. Please don't act like it isn't. I mean, like it is. Please don't act like it is. It's not
It's about the abstract, Renee. It's not just about black men, black women. It's about American men, American
but
women.
But you're not black, correct?
Huh? It doesn't
Are you
look,
black?
It doesn't matter what
he's,
the discussion
he's,
is.
He's black.
Is about
he's black when he's on this
women.
Show. He's been on this show a long time.
Totality.
No,
we
he's
give
not
him,
black.
We give him,
no,
we give him a pass.
You cannot tell me that. I'm sorry.
I can say it. I can say it, and let me state this, okay? Let me state this. It's about culture. It's not about ethnicity. 90
mm-hmm.
Let me finish. 90% of the people that were transported from Africa, okay, to work as beast of burden as slaves, 90% did not end up in North America. They ended up in South America, okay? And so you're going to find black people in every place in South America except Argentina and including all of the isles, all of the West Indians, all the West Indies, including the Virgin Islands. So they're coming from a different culture. They are still black people. They are still black men. They are still black women, but their attitudes and their culture is different than the American black culture. So it's not about the ethnicity. It's about culture.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Beasley, for that last word, because we got to get up out of here, man. I'm telling you. But I got so many people on the line. Woo, I got to stop now so y'all can get your last words in. And we're going to start off with Joe because I know he's got another engagement he must take going to 10. So, Mr. Joe, your last words.
I have nothing to say. Forget it. Nothing. Just I'll see you all when I see you all.
Uh-huh. You going next door now?
You're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
All right. Bye. All right. We're going to talk. Mr. Cleveland, you got the floor.
I'm trying. I don't have anything.
Okay. Sounds good. Have a good one, sir. All right. Maze, you're up.
Yes. Most men want to watch the Brazilian women. But I don't see a fluctuation of Brazilian women coming over here marrying American men. And it's not always about the money. And it's not all it's about love. It's not about the money. And then some people think that people got credit up to the yang-yang. Some people don't owe nobody nothing because they don't want to owe nobody nothing. They want to have bills paid off and everything. And they do know how to use a budget and all of those different things. But some people think other people don't. And when you talk about – when you're always talking about money, sometimes I wonder if you have any. When you hear a person talking about money all the time, money, and Claude Anderson, sometimes I wonder if you got into yourself. Have a good day. Finish.
All right. Thank you, Maze. All right. Michael.
Well, first of all, let's get some education. Yeah, real quick, Mr. Charles. Well, let's get some education out here. This is a fact. Beasley and Mr. Solution, please look this up. Culture and ethnicity
are synonymous. They're the same. When you look at someone's culture, I guarantee you're going to identify the ethnicity. What is ethnicity? How do they dress? How do they eat? Culture is still the same thing. How do they dress? How do they eat? It's the same thing. Okay? I just wanted to, and she made a very valid point. Ms. Solution was talking about going to Brazil, and Renee says she watched the video, and it breaks one of Ms. Solution's rules. Ms. Solution says, hey, when you meet a woman, don't give her no money. You're supposed to talk and quaint. But I have to watch the movie. I think Renee is saying that these men were paying for these women to act like this. And I'll say this, and I'll be quiet. I have a date tomorrow with an African woman. I was at the gas station pumping my gas, and me and this African lady, we smiled at each other, and she pulls the car around and gets some air. She says, excuse me, sir, can you help me put some air? I go over there, ties full with air. I knew she wanted to talk to me. I already, because women, they'll do things in a nonverbal way. I already knew she all the ties had air in it. So, you know, we'll see how it goes tomorrow. And she's African. African woman, very beautiful. But I just want to say it's really no perfect answer. You just got to do what you got to do. Just know yourself, like May said. That's all I got to say. Y'all have a nice one.
All right. Thank you. Mac Daddy Michael, pulling them at the gas station. I'm telling you, you got to be special when you do that. Let's see. Mr. Solution.
No, that's fine. I think that's the way it should happen. I think, Michael, by the way, I know that culture and ethnicity are very, very closely related, Michael. And that wasn't nonverbal, by the way. That was quite verbal. But that's okay. I mean, more women should do that. Men like to use their power, legitimate power, to appropriately interact with women. But what I would encourage Renee and women like her, she seemed like a pretty nice woman overall, is to listen to, you have some real intelligent men in this particular panel, as it were. And I would say, instead of being totally cocked toward fighting with them, is to just listen to what they have to say, because they're telling you about unique experiences. And so that would just be a good thing overall, is just to hear what they have to say. They date women, so they know women generally a little bit better than women do, because, you know, women don't date women, at least heterosexual women don't. So I think it's been a good show. I think more needs to be said about the role of money. A man is generally going to expend money in any interaction he has with a woman. What a man is really interested in, or certainly a good man, is the woman genuinely interested in him? He doesn't mind sharing with her, being generous. That's what being a partner is all about. But he doesn't want her being a parasite, kind of like a V. Stefano, or whatever her name is, because she was totally a parasite, according to the guy that was her sugar daddy. And so, you know, that's the thing that guys want. They want a woman who's genuinely interested in them, good guys. So I think more needs to be said about money, because nothing can move forward without money. You couldn't even be talking on this program without money. And, Eric, you may want to take up a donation, because a lot of people are ignorant to the fact that you have to pay BTR to be on this, to be on the air, correct?
Correct.
So the people who want to demonize and diminish the importance of money, you may want to ask them for a contribution. I'm just saying.
Okay. I'll take that under advisement.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Have a good one, Business Solution. All right, Mr. Beasley, your turn.
I think my colleague, Mr. Solution, made some very good points.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm finished.
So you willing to send me a donation?
Ask and you shall receive.
All right.
Seek and you shall find.
Yeah. All right. All righty. Well, thank you, Mr. Beasley. You have a good day.
Do you want a donation?
No, not right now.
Does that mean that if I give a donation, if I pay for a month, does that mean I get to mute you and shoot you for a month?
Oh, heck no.
Okay, well, I mean, that's taxation without representation.
You get to continue to come on the show and talk.
Fair
all right,
enough.
Man.
I enjoy this, or I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I'm glad. Take I enjoy show. Hearing y'all. All right.
All right.
Okay. Bye.
Can I make a suggestion?
Uh-oh. What's the suggestion?
There's a lot of times when the conversation is getting very lively and you're almost disappointed when you say you have to go. I know some other hosts sometimes say, hey, I've got something to do, but I'm going to leave it open and let you guys talk the rest of the hour out.
Mm.
Which means if you choose, you can go about your business. And there'll be conversation. There'll be the conversation goes on. It's going to end when it ends anyway. Just a thought.
Yeah, just a thought. Maybe I'll do that one day. All right.
All right.
Okay. All right. All right. Miss Antoinette, you're up.
Oh wow. I'm sorry, Mr. Beasley's last comment just really got me. Beasley, that's a bold host that does that. I tell you, I could not do that. I'd be scared when I come back and hear later.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was a great show. And on both sides, male and females, it's not always about finances, because some people will just, they'll dry you up just with their energy. Their energy is so negative. And their attitudes and everything is enough to just drain you. So it's hard talking about relationships and what someone should do in a relationship and who they should look for, because I can't pick out anyone's mate for anyone. I mean, Lord knows I couldn't pick out my children's mates. You know, so I think that when it comes to, you know, trying to tell someone who they should be with or what type of person they should be with and what their financial status and everything is, I'm no expert, and I'm not going to pretend to be, and I'm not going to pretend to know everyone's heart and mind. So I leave mine at that. But it was a great show, Mr. Talk.
All right. Thank you, Antoinette, and you have a great afternoon. All right. Last but not least, Miss Renee.
Hey, yeah, I wanted to say that I agree that I do need to listen to what a lot of the men are saying, but don't think that I'm not. I definitely am listening to what the men are saying, and you know, I'm taking it, thinking about it, absorbing it. So no, I don't just want to argue, but I just had a different opinion on that documentary and some things about it. You know, I feel like, again, you just can't make that comparison. I think that that's where we get into trouble. I look at it as other races of women being different from each other, not as far as being better. That's how I choose to look at it. But I think sometimes, you know, and maybe the men might get a little mad with me saying this, but I think sometimes black men just make any excuse they can to date outside of black women. And to not necessarily have to feel that guilt or kind of like you're a race traitor, you're a, you know, sellout or whatever. And I think sometimes they will make excuses in order to kind of, you know, be like, this is why I did it. And so people say, oh, okay, well, then I understand. To me, if you want a good black woman, then that's what you will look for. And like Beasley said, seek and ye shall find, you know. If that's what you want, then you can get that. But if you want something else, then you'll make excuses as to why you can't get that. Also, I wanted to say that, you know, even in talking about the Brazil documentary, I think it's so funny and interesting how black women, not all, of course, but a lot of black women have gotten this label of being gold diggers. But when you talk about other races of women, you have to have money from day one. You look at white women and Asian women, definitely Asian women. They will not deal with a broke black man. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And a lot of these women, you know what I'm saying, even in Brazil, you're going to Brazil, they already know you have some money or you wouldn't be down here. That's number mm-hmm. one. And so when they're engaging with these men and they're making them feel, you know, super masculine and all that kind of thing, there's an underlying current there of money. It's not authentic. So when you talk about a relationship with a woman and the man still pays, that's well and good. But, again, a relationship is give and take. And there's still going to be that undercurrent that she's still there for you or there with you for more than money. With those women, they are there with you for money. I mean, let's call it what it is. So that's all I want to say. You know, black women are not any more gold diggers than any other race of women. Many other races of women see it as them being financially comfortable and them, you know, being able to live a certain lifestyle. When it's what black women is looked at as being a gold digger. So that's it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Miss Renee. And we see you tomorrow on Freedom Friday. All right, y'all. That's going to wrap it up for me. And it's been a very, very enlightening conversation today. And fun, actually. It really has been. You know, as far as a good man, good woman, you know, it's all about what you're looking for. What you're looking for and what you bring to the table. Because if you're looking for more than what you bring in, you may have a problem there. All right? So, anyway, that's it. Tomorrow is Freedom Friday. Y'all know how that goes. Any whatever you want to talk about, that's what it is. I started off, but don't know where we may end up at. All right? Remember to keep smiling, show appreciation. Oh, wait, before I do that. If you want to leave in the comments, you can go to ericletstalk@gmail.com. Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. Wait a minute. Okay, the email is ericletstalk@gmail.com. Okay, yeah. And then the Facebook page is Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. And let's see. Twitter, I'm on Twitter also, Driven4Life62, and it's F-O-R, all right? And so you hit me up on Twitter, all right? Well, that's going to do it for me. Remember, keep smiling, show appreciation, forgive with an open heart, but make sure you're forgiving yourself before you can forgive anyone else. And the biggest and the best thing I always say last, remember to learn to laugh at yourself. If you can laugh at yourself, shoot, and everything else is gravy. That's for sure. All right. So with that being said, we about to get up out of here. I want to say thank you to everybody who participated in the chat room and on the switchboard. Hey, I know the show wouldn't be anything without y'all, so I really appreciate it. All right. Till tomorrow, y'all. Y'all have a good one. I'm out of here.
Bye-bye.